Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I am your host, Lisa Anderson, and a lot to tell you today. First of all, I want to thank all of you for your precious comments from the show where I was interviewed by Susie Larson, bless her heart. I have gotten so many emails and cards from you guys just saying thanks for that. I know there were a few tears. I was not really comfortable with that. But it was what it was, and I'm glad that it was helpful to so many of you. I heard from many of you that it resonated, that you too sometimes feel like you are no one's most important person. And so know that you are not alone. I'm glad it was encouraging, and maybe we'll do it again in the future. Because who knows? I always have lots of things to say. Also, coming up at the end of October, stay tuned, the Focus Daily broadcast. I will be doing an interview with them. So, anywho. The other thing you need to know, we are in the middle of signing up for Rock the Body, our fall challenge to get you into the life of a local church. I hope you have already signed up. If you haven't, you need to go to boundless.org/rockthebody and sign up there, and you're going to take a short survey, and then you will be in. This starts August 26th, and so we have got to get this rolling, get you on board, so you can start with us right out of the gate when we give you our first week and the first week's challenge. So again, boundless.org/rockthebody. Know, first of all, do you remember that we have prizes for this, people? Okay. Including a grand prize of a trip to Passion 2014 for you and a friend. And that includes airfare and hotel. So make sure you are in on that. But also, some of you are probably like, yeah, well, I'm already in a church and I'm in a small group or whatever. You can use this to be creative. Find some way to challenge yourself in the way that you're doing church right now. It might be doing a different small group. It might be doing multi-generational. It might be serving in a different way that you have already. Even if you already have four of your ducks all in a row, that fifth one you can jump in and do. I actually took the survey myself and will be doing the challenge. So there are definitely ways I can grow in it as well. So do it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, later on in the show, we have Counselor Glenn Lutyens here to give a listener an idea about some books, maybe, that he can read pertaining to leading in a relationship. So we know that many of you have questions related to that, so that's always good. Then for our culture segment, we have Paul Angoni here. He is going to share with us from his book, 101 Secrets for Your 20s, a really fun book. We have a great conversation with him, so that'll be a lot of fun for you to read that book and maybe discuss it with some friends. A lot of good ideas there. And here we are for our round table, of course, assembling another great group of folks. I have Aaron, Jesse, and Sam at the table. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Great to have you.
I'm putting away my phone because I was looking up who's speaking at Passion 2014 just to, you know, to see if I was interested in it. Now, can I win? Can I enter and win?
You can't because you're too closely tied to Focus on the Family. I'm very sorry. You can enter. You just can't win. Go ahead and enter.
I mean, because there's some really cool speakers that...
I know. And I'm saying, it's like a person and their friend, and it's like, that's just like a free vacation that is also important because you will learn things about Jesus.
So if they don't have a friend and they need one,
right,
could they choose me? Could I be the friend?
I believe you could be the friend.
Instead
yes.
of being the winner, I'll be the co-winner.
But we'll probably investigate that to make sure that you didn't try to win and then just get that person to... there will be an investigation. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But beyond that, no, you probably could be the friend if that were the case. But no, we don't want to give it to you, quite frankly.
So well,
I'm very sorry. But do the challenge with us anyway.
Done.
Okay. All right, you guys, we are talking about... we actually received a letter from a guy. We love it when our listeners write into us because they prompt many of our roundtable discussions as well as our inbox questions. And this guy says that he's 19 years old and he's about ready to enter his sophomore year of college and really kind of feels like in the past he was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be way out of college by the time I get married. But now he kind of feels like, no, I probably really could... you know, be at the point where I need to be intentional in dating, even in college. And quite frankly, should I marry in college? And is that even legit? Do people do that anymore? You know, I mean, people did it in the 30s and 40s, apparently. So I think he's kind of like, is this still allowed in our culture?
Well, even the 90s, Lisa, come on. I mean, I was actually engaged going into my sophomore year of college and got married.
That was the 90s. I must have written
right
that down
after my sophomore year. So heading into my junior year, I was married and actually saw my grades go up, the happiness quotient go through the roof, and just grew together with my wife. But yeah, we were 20 years old when we got married. And so it was an exciting time of life, let's put it that way.
That's good. Well, and that actually brings me to my first question that I want all y'all to answer. I want to know, was it your goal going into college? Was it even on your radar that you may actually meet your spouse and get married while in college? Was this something that was even feasible to you?
For me, it wasn't on my radar, honestly. I did go to a Christian school. I was at Wheaton College. And of course, there's all those jokes about the girls who go there to get their MRS degree or the ring by spring and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, I went there because I had a really good communications program and I wanted to be a writer. So that's, I was pretty focused on my education. It just so happened that I met this girl the first week of school. Actually, I don't even think school had started. I'd started working at a job as a waiter, and this girl came in with her friend and these other two guys. They're on a double date, and she pulled out a picture of this guy and goes, "You know this guy?" And I'm like, "He's on my floor. I know that guy." He's like, "Oh, that's my brother." And nothing really happened for the first month and a half, and then her brother came to me because we were, you know, living a few doors away from each other, and said, "Hey, call my sister and give her a hard time." And so I don't think he was looking for a brother-in-law.
Hard time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's 25 years ago, but we've been married 23 years as of.
And you just still look like you're in college, Jesse. You're just so young.
We met in college, but I ended up dating Greg's roommate for the remainder of college. So our sophomore year we met, never dated, but then directly out of college, became great friends. And we were actually good friends all through college, but became closer. We were actually on a cruise. I was nannying his dad's co-author's children. And yeah, I wasn't a very good nanny because suddenly there were sparks flying and it became the love boat. But so we started dating in about January. We had such a history with each other that we ended up engaged by August. But he so happened to be in his master's degree at Denver Seminary. So he was 1 year through it. So we married in between his first and second year, and I moved to Denver. And then we finished that program and went on for a doctorate. And so our first 7 years were spent in graduate school.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens when you marry those postgraduate people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you never know when your time's
well,
going to be up.
And then he finished, and then I decided I was going to go. So we added, you know, two more years onto that after the fact. And we had a baby through that.
Okay.
So it definitely was not probably our goal. But I agree with what Jesse was saying, that there's research out there that shows that, especially for guys, if they're married in while they're in college or doing postgraduate work, they actually do better in school. So Greg did great.
Yeah.
Even a 6 week old.
That's good.
That was certainly my experience as well. I didn't go to college thinking I would get married. I didn't even go to college thinking I was going to get a good education. I just went to college because that was like the next step. That's not a knock on my school, or that's a knock on me. I didn't even have my major like solidified when I was a sophomore. Marriage was so off of my radar, but I actually met my wife my first year in school, and we became friends and started dating the following summer and got married. I guess it was a couple years later. So when I got married, I got married the summer before my senior year. And by then, Aaron, I think my grades and my work habits were solidified that I don't know how much of an improvement it made on me. Which is again terrible. I'm the worst guest here. I do.
Are you sure you're still married?
Yeah. Well, maybe not after this.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering here.
But I do remember getting married and having a very unique perspective and kind of a recommitment to finishing school well, because this was the first few months of my marriage. I wanted to finish school strongly, and having that commitment certainly kind of carried over into into my relationship with my wife.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about, like, it wasn't on your radar. I think for a lot of, you know, college students now, there's this idea of, I certainly can't do this, this, or this until all my ducks are in a row, until I absolutely won't do this until I at least have this, you know, and they're starting to plan their whole lives right before their very eyes. Were you guys surprised when you discovered that you were probably moving towards marriage with still some school left to be under your belt? Certainly, whether graduate, I mean, you certainly were going to take on a truckload of debt. I mean, and what was that going to look like for the years ahead? Were you surprised? And then the second question in that is, what then was your motivation for choosing to marry over waiting? What finally was the determiner?
Well, I would just say that I guess I was a little surprised. My parents were surprised, I guess. I have a 20-year-old son right now who's going into his senior year at college. And he's older right now than I was when I was married. And I look at him and go, oh, there's no way he should get married. So my parents might have been thinking the same thing. And I have an interesting family background. I have three sets of parents. And four of my six parents were all for the marriage. And then my mom and stepdad gave us their blessing basically the week before we got married. We moved forward with the blessing of, you know, her mom and everybody else. I would say there was definitely some surprise. And I don't know, this sounds cheesy, but you know, when Harry met Sally in the scene at the end, and you know, when Tom Hanks says, when you meet the person you want to get married, you want that to start as soon as possible. That's just how I felt, mm-hmm. You know, and we'd gone through all the Christian counseling. We'd gone through financial counseling. We'd, you know, talked everything through. We'd done a prepare test looking at different personality traits and things we had to work on. So we didn't walk into this marriage, you know, with, you know, rose colored glasses, maybe a little bit, but, you know, we knew what we were getting into and we just wanted that to start as soon as possible. So we started.
Mm-hmm. We really, I actually at that point had decided that I wanted to wait to get married until I was probably in my 30s, because I decided I was going on the career path. I was a nurse and I wanted graduate work to be done in nursing. And so I kind of was content. And then here came Greg. And really at that point, then it kind of redirected my path. And so it was shocking to me that I actually was going to get married, but I wanted that. And since he was moving away to go to Denver for Denver Seminary, it was one of those choices of, I could stay here, we could date long distance, see where it goes. Or, you know what, I just knew that this is who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And it meant then, you know, putting some of my dreams aside and going and joining him and, you know, helping support him through his graduate work. So that was kind of the factor for us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember ever, and again, I'm such a terrible person. I don't ever remember having, I know. Yeah, I walk in the studio and you're like, why is this guy here? I don't ever remember having a conversation of, we're getting married, but we also have to finish college and we're going to take on this debt. Jesse, I have a pretty similar experience to you, that it was just this feels natural. Getting married felt natural, independent of all of my other circumstances, whatever was going on. It just felt like it definitely took priority over all my other life decisions, but it wasn't affected by the other life decisions.
Right.
I certainly wanted to have a job and get some of my ducks in a row, but I didn't want I didn't need a very clear path in front of me in order to commit to my marriage.
Mm-hmm. Was this just like, was it just about the sex for you?
Well, I mean, now that you brought it up, I mean,
let's just talk about motivators. It's right here.
That certainly is a motivation, and these guys are going to be able to speak much more maturely about.
I doubt that.
About that.
That's a big perk. That's just a perk.
I'm sorry.
Right now.
I will, and you guys certainly. The weird looks you get when you come back on campus and everybody knows what you've done and how could you have done that, mm-hmm. but we had, and it was awesome, and you guys haven't, and there was definitely... There
so now
was,
you could, like, lord it over your
yes,
friends.
Yes, there was definitely an air of superiority.
That's healthy.
Of,
okay. That's
again, good. These guys can probably speak a lot more mature about it, but...
Nice.
But
okay. So let's talk a little bit about, because there are a lot in our audience who, you know, are considering this, and of course, we've interviewed Ted Cunningham, who wrote Young and in Love, a huge advocate for why getting to marriage earlier is a good thing. What, as you look back, were some of the benefits of doing that, and what were some of the challenges? I mean, because obviously benefits, many of them probably crop up right away, but challenges, you have to face those as well.
I'd say for us, sharing that experience, especially with Greg pursuing a doctorate in psychology, that he was growing and changing a lot and maturing a lot, and I got to do that with him. So I didn't miss out on that season of his life. I got to join him in that. And so thus, I was also growing and maturing. We did that together. The challenges, I would say that the finances, of course, were challenging. And then we ended up having our first child. She was a month old on our second wedding anniversary. And we were, you know, moving from Denver, and we moved to LA for his doctorate. And so that was challenging. But in the same breath, the benefit was that I had this baby to take care of. So he was gone a lot doing his graduate work. And you know what? I had Taylor, and we were buddies, and he loved to come home as soon as he could to be with us. And other students were, you know, in the library for hours. So that, I mean, there were the ups and the downs of it. He had to definitely learn to readjust how much time he was studying. And we actually agreed that he would study for B's, but he made A's. The research was true.
That's good.
You know, very similar challenges, obviously. You know, when you get married young, there are those financial challenges. You know, my wife, again, put her dreams on hold of, you know, she finished up her associate's degree, and then she went to work, and she was working for a church and, you know, at a health club and doing whatever she could to help, you know, provide for us. The other thing that was kind of cool, when you get married, then you're emancipated. And so you have a very low income, and the government goes, oh, look at this. You need money. And so
nice.
Out of nowhere, we got this huge check from the state of Illinois to help pay for college. So there were some perks, but again, you know, you're living in, you know, a 350-foot square foot apartment. You're using milk crates for bookshelves. You know, I mean, it's you're just getting by. You're eating a lot of ramen and peanut butter and jelly, and that's okay, because I think you need those hard times to look back on and grow from. And just like you said, you grow together. I mean, in any marriage, you have a choice. You can grow together or you can grow apart.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're going through those things through school and you have that advocate, it was so nice coming, you know, home to my wife after a tough day at school or grad school, and just getting that encouragement from her to keep doing well, instead of going to a dorm room with 40 other guys and, you know, playing Tetris till 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Tetris.
It's funny because my
Tetris or Pac-Man.
Did I just date myself?
Yeah. It's funny because my parents married in college as well, and they talk about how they lived in, like, the boiler room of an apartment building, like in the basement, and then this local farmer just gave them eggs. So I think they just ate eggs for probably 3 months, and that was all. They were just literally in poverty, but they made it work, so...
I think one of the biggest temptations when you get married young is you commit and you get into this hard kind of era, you know, after a few years, and you start to, at least I did, you start to second guess yourself. You start to second guess, you know, maybe I should have waited. Maybe I wasn't as ready as I could have been. What if I would have waited another 2 years? What if I would have taken this job? What if I would have moved and went to this school and never had to, you know, go through whatever hardship I'm going through now. And I guess I'm interested in hearing what you guys, if you guys experienced that as well.
Yeah, I was, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I don't know that there's a couple out there that at some point doesn't question, was this the right person? Was it the right time? Was it the right scenario? Just as, because things are going to eventually have challenges in a marriage, in a relationship, in an intimate relationship. And so, I mean, we definitely had those times of going, wow, I mean, this was not easy. And this was, you know, maybe it would have been better to wait until he was done with all of his doctoral work 7 years later, you know, but look at what I would have missed out on. Mm. I definitely am so thankful that we did what we did. And because there were people who came to me, being a nurse, I was making a decent living, you know, and they said things like, oh, you know, he's just going to use you to pay for his graduate school. And I was like, really? Do you know him? I don't think that's even come to mind for him, that it's so not his character. But yeah, I would say every couple, regardless of the scenario or the timing, would, you know, very well may have those questions.
You know, and it's that trust factor that you have in any intimate relationship, whether it's with, you know, your spouse or with God, where, you know, there's going to be those times of doubt. But then there's, you know what? No, I know what I was doing. I was making this commitment. I prayed it through. I got wise counsel. I talked to things. I prepared. You know, I looked into it. And so you just, you know, rely on that commitment and that trust to get through any of those periods and you know, grow from it.
Yeah, what I realized after kind of dealing with these thoughts and emotions and feelings on my own was that this is common. And it's common for anyone who gets married young, gets married old, gets married in general. And really that realization kind of freed up kind of this just stranglehold I had over my situation, and it allowed me to open up a conversation with my wife of, hey, do you ever imagine what life would be like had we waited to get married, or had you went on and did a graduate program right after you graduated? And it opened up an avenue of conversation that we wouldn't have had, and it's something that I'm very thankful for, and I can kind of, I look back at that time and realize I was growing and maturing then. I may have regressed a bunch since then. But it was definitely a marker for me of knowing, hey, I'm on the right track because I'm asking the right questions and having some good conversations with my wife.
Okay, so now we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, because it's all well and good to look back on your stories and realize that you guys have strong marriages and you're doing well. But Jesse, you alluded to this. You all have kids. And Sam, yours are young. Mm-hmm. One in the womb.
Yeah.
Very young.
Yes. Yeah.
But Erin, you have a daughter who's heading back to college right now.
Yeah, and she actually is transferring to our alma mater.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Oh, wow. We looked at each other last week and went, can you imagine? We met in the back of an Old Testament theology class next week. She could be sitting in the back of an Old Testament theology class on the same campus and be staring at her husband. Imagine.
What if she comes home 3 months from now and says, I met the guy I'm going to marry, and we are now dating, and hopefully we're going to get married next year? What do you guys say?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Other than, I think that we would definitely ask some questions about who he is and how well they know each other and his history and his past and what's driving them to get married. We'd ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And we'd also really encourage them to do premarital counseling and to gain as much knowledge as they could before they would enter into a marriage. Because, I mean, marriage is tough. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy all the time. And so to be equipped as they walked into that would be the most important. I can't imagine that, because like you were saying, she's 19, cannot imagine her wanting to get married within a couple years, but it could happen. Mm-hmm. And I just think what the advice I've always gotten is, if you're concerned about who they're marrying, you say it once and you voice your concerns, but then you gotta jump on board. Because if this is who they're choosing, you gotta get on board.
All right, Jesse, what about you? Your son, you're kind of wondering.
I know. It's my wife should be here answering this question, because she loves to talk to him about girls. Oh. And in fact, every time they get together, there's a conversation.
And you're like, please don't.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, what he's open to, you know, seriously dating and moving ahead towards marriage, and he knows he has med school ahead of him and a lot of schooling and stuff like that, but he wants that you know, that long-term relationship. And what he's running into in college is all the girls are more like you were saying, Erin, they have this 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. You know, they know they want to you know, graduate with their engineering degree and then go on here and work at this place. And then maybe when they're 28, maybe 30, think about getting married, have kids in their mid-30s. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of frustrated by that, because he can't find that girl out there who's more serious about pursuing a relationship. So I think if he showed up and said that he found this girl that he wanted to marry and she was excited about it as well, we'd do the same thing. I mean, we'd be very happy for him, but we'd ask a lot of questions and, you know, of course, want to meet her and, you know, griller, all those things.
Could we introduce him to my daughter? Yeah.
There we go. This is not a bad idea. I think maybe this is why God had us on this podcast together.
There's a greater purpose. There are benefits.
Now, my youngest started kindergarten on Monday, and
she still has 2 or 3 years.
She still has a few years. But trust me, as a dad, this is on the forefront of my mind. The first question I asked her was, you know, who did you meet? Who are your friends? Oh, I met a girl. She's really pretty. Her name is Alexis. Okay. Who else? And this boy, Trevor, he's really funny. And I'm like, uh-uh. No, you don't. Uh-huh. My daughter, who is not
my boyfriend.
Yeah, not even six. And I'm already looking out for these indicators of...
That's right. Stay away from Trevor.
Stay away from... Uh-huh. Yes, right.
Exactly.
We're going to meet Trevor and his parents and just call it off right now.
No Disney movies alone in the basement.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
That won't be okay. Okay, so any just last like advice, those who are in college, what do they need to know before they move ahead and decide to whether pursue someone directly for marriage or get married to the person they're dating right now? What would you say needs to be done first and foremost?
Yeah, I think it's great to have a plan. You got to have a plan about your future, but you also have to be flexible when God changes, moves that plan or brings in a relationship. So, and not to overlook that. I mean, it's great to be focused. It's awesome to have career goals and passions, but don't miss out on some really neat relationships that you can have now because you just get so overly focused on college or your career or the next step. Because you know what? When you get married young and you struggle and all that, it's awesome. I mean, it's terrible when you're going through it and you look back. I mean, we had a child after 2.5 years and, I didn't have a job. We had no insurance. It was right after I finished up grad school. Mm-hmm. And, we didn't have a couch. We sat on a Reebok step. That was our couch. The only furniture we had in our house was a rocking chair, and then I had my bed that I grew up on, a little twin. Well, it was a double bed that was sinking in the middle. It was awful. Mm-hmm. But looking back in those times, it's the things, it just makes you stronger and that relationship stronger when you struggle together. So I would just say, plan, but also be looking for God's leading.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I would say, Jesse, that, I had it all laid out. I was going to do A, B, C, D, and E. And now looking back, it looks much, much different than what I ever expected. But I literally would say it's so much better than what I had planned because God led. Mm-hmm. And he led me to a man who supports my dreams and has encouraged me to do things that I never thought I could do. And I wouldn't have done those things without him. Mm-hmm. And the things that we do together and raising a family together. And our family looks much different than what we expected. And it just, so I agree. Just be open to what God is saying to you, regardless of the age or the time or the, but do have a plan. And I this sounds cliche, but someone said to Greg amidst us considering engagement, it's the right one when you don't want to live without them. Hmm. It's not that you have to have them or you need them. It's that you want to live with them. You don't want to live without them.
Yeah, that's great. And I would just echo what Jesse and Aaron had said. Have a plan, but hold it loosely.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I mean, obviously, I am not married. I think there are a number of decisions I made in college that probably I totally could have made better decisions on as well. But one thing I think of, because there are some people sitting there and they're in college right now and they're like, well, I'm not even dating anyone. And they're just all upset, about that. And the fact is, use this time right now to be in a position to marry when, in fact, that does happen, especially mm-hmm. you guys. I mean, the last thing you want to do is show up at 26 and be like, I'm still getting my life together. And then here's this great girl and you're all like flipped out about it because you don't know yourself at this point. That is concerning. So certainly, like you guys said, prepare. Use this time now to prepare. And then you're going to be able to move ahead with confidence, full steam ahead, when you do meet that person. So great thoughts, you guys. Thanks so much for sharing from your own experience. I'm glad to hear. Next time, maybe we'll have to bring all the spouses in and be like,
there we go.
Were they even legit? What did they say? But those are fun insights for all of us. So thanks so much.